From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
So we are back, and after a semi-eventful couple of days, especially looking at this Cleveland game coming up, all three of us are back again. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in. Seth, you feeling good?
Yeah, life is good, man. I'm happy.
I like it. I know I've looked at the film, at least done my stuff for the video, and Seth, you've had a chance to go over it, right?
Yep, I sure have. I'm also, and this is, you know, I do my plugs occasionally. Everyone knows I do a weekly review on Patrick Mahomes for The Athletic, charting stuff that I think I can say without fear of sounding immodest that isn't anywhere else in terms of, you know, happy feet, open receivers missed, franchise throws, you know, accurate versus inaccurate throws, etc. I'm going to be expanding that weekly article to include observations throughout the game on other players as well. So that's something I'm kind of looking forward to. So because of that, I've actually done a few more observations this week. So I'm even more like insane than normal in terms of how much I've watched.
Well, I appreciate it because I don't watch Mahomes film because I know you're gonna. So thanks.
Hey, it's my cross to bear. But yeah, so
that's so it's gotta be so rough, Seth.
Yeah, no, it's real tough. Watching some of the other guys is pretty rough, but, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there. So my goal will be every week to have at least probably about three or four observations, maybe more, maybe less, depending on how in depth they are from the all 22, something that's kind of relevant. So like this week, you know, I looked at Dorian O'Daniel a little bit to see how much more he could fit into a larger role, trying to figure out, you know, some issues at safety and that kind of thing.
Cool.
And Breland Speaks, because that one's mystifying to me.
Hmm. Well, for now, let's focus on the offense. And I know that we're going to talk about Sammy and we're going to talk about Kelce and a couple other things. But just before we get rolling, just general impressions. I watched the game a couple of times now, including the All-22. And I came away impressed with both, I can't say his name right, Ryder and Wiley. I mean, for young guys being in there thrown into the battle, like I felt like they held their own more times than not.
I would agree with that. They, you know, the Broncos did get some pressure, but, you know, most of the pressure that came, despite the fact that Schwartz generally does a good job against Von Miller, and Fisher's done a pretty decent job this year, not great, but pretty decent. Most of the pressure that did come came from the edges or on blitzes. I did not notice a lot of interior action despite the existence of Derek Wolfe.
Yeah, they got him on a twist once that was pretty effective for the Broncos. But other than that, I thought really they are fairly solid in there. I agree with you. Most of the pressure came from outside. So I just wanted to throw that out. We don't need to spend a lot of time, but you know, like originally I was a little worried. So I think folks can rest a little bit easy that they're going to be all right. But
well, one thing I will say is that I was impressed because, you know, say what you want about Von Miller getting his sack, but you know, Mitchell Schwartz, what, five games against Miller, one sack. I will take that every day.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
So passing game, Sammy finally explodes. I mean, he's been wearing around a little bit and getting better, but big takeaway on Sammy Watkins.
What really increased was his target share. I think he's looked more comfortable in the offense the last several weeks. He did have a drop, you know, last week that bugged me a little bit on one of Mahomes' best throws, but overall he's looked fine. Up until this last game, his target share was around 19% in terms of targets. And this game, it was 29%. And so basically what happened was for this week, he got more. He had, I think it was 9 targets. His previous high was 7, which maybe, you know, to people like, oh, that's barely a difference. That matters. When you're dealing with numbers that are under 10 or 15, just one makes a difference, let alone two, especially when you're talking in terms of market share, percentage, right? And so he was more a focal point of the offense than a peripheral part. And I thought he responded really well, which gives defensive coordinators one more thing to freak out about.
For sure. Chris, did you have anything in particular that you saw with him?
I wouldn't say that it was anything particular that stood out. I will say that it was Sammy Watkins doing what Sammy Watkins does best. And I think one of the things he does best is attack the ball with both of his hands. Makes it so much easier for him to catch some of the balls that he was throwing, especially considering you look at some of the heat that he had on some of those throws that were coming out to him. It just – it was impressive to see him catch the ones he caught. And he got missed on one target, but you know what? I'll take that from him. I think he had a good game. And really, I think what you're seeing is, you know, if he's going to get more usage, you look at the different things he's able to do. And Ryan, I think you've said this before, even recently, that they're more a 1A, 1B when you're talking about Hill and Watkins, but they're completely different receivers in what they can do and what they can do well in some areas. Yeah. And I think that's encouraging.
Well, and the other thing that encourages me is, like, I think it finally paid off that we've seen all the stuff with Hill and Kelsey and Kareem out of the backfield. Well, like, you saw the Broncos concentrate on those guys. And when you leave an inside linebacker on Sammy Watkins on purpose, then Andy Reid has already won.
Yep. And that was, you know, it's interesting. That was a obviously advantageous situation for Watkins, but he ran that route so perfectly that it went from a potential nice play to a touchdown. He really responded well. He has been way better after the catch than I anticipated. He's an exceptional after the catch player. And so I'd love to see him kind of incorporated into the offense a little bit more. Now it's going to be tough. The reality of the situation is this next week, he might only see four targets. Tyreek Hill only saw four targets on Sunday. Now, because he's Tyreek Hill, he got, I think it was like 70 yards on those four targets, but he is like the most efficient receiver in the league on a per target basis and has been the last 2 years. And so it's not quite fair to compare Watkins to that, but he's doing very well. Watkins, this is a tough thing. The fact that he's doing this well in Andy Reid's offense, even as well as he's already done, 8 games in, that's impressive because that's a tough offense to learn.
Yeah. And folks, I will have that play on my video Wednesday night on RGR Football. That route, it was really designed well and ran perfectly. So I agree with you completely. The one guy that I thought got his attention, but man, I still don't know if it's just like early game jitters between Pat and Travis, but Kelsey's like not getting a whole lot of early stuff going. And like, I wanted to make his first grab and really haul it in and get some intensity going. Do you guys see the same thing or am I off?
He had a few drops. And that's tough. You know, he had a couple that I would call drops, and then he had two more that were borderline. And so, you know, Kelsey, and he still had a decent game. He's still obviously a stud, but he's definitely a guy you want to get going early. I again, like you said, I wouldn't call it they're not on the same page, but Mahomes and Hill are clearly the most on the same page of anyone that I would call in terms of targets. Whereas Kelsey, every now and then, they're still getting in sync, it feels like.
Well, and I agree with you on that, Seth. I wouldn't say that they're necessarily not on the same page. It looks like Mahomes and Kelsey know what each other are going to do. But uncharacteristically, Kelsey's had a couple of drops. I mean, the ball hit him in the hands. There was a specific play where Mahomes could have had a fifth touchdown pass had Kelsey caught it. They had to end up settling for a field goal. Now, I'm not going to say it was not a hard catch because it turned him around. But it was definitely something that you would expect him to catch.
Absolutely. It was a well-placed ball. And nah, it's not the easiest catch, but it was placed where it needed to be. And, you know, Kelsey's so good that every now and then he might have a few games where he drops a few because his hands, while he's got great hands in terms of catching tough passes, contested balls, all that kind of stuff, he occasionally will have a game where he has a couple drops. And I think everyone knows that. But he's so good that it doesn't matter. And so that's what's interesting to me is when you watch this offense, the only game where I felt like the offense really was firing on all cylinders the entire game was maybe like the Pittsburgh game. And you can see opportunities getting lost in certain spots. And what's scary to me is, I mean, the fact that they're averaging, you know, I don't know what they're averaging now. It's going to be under 37 because they only scored 30 on Sunday. But the fact they're averaging, you know, 35 a game or whatever it is, without you can point to where the efficiency can increase. And that is terrifying because this offense as is should be together for a couple more years.
The last thing I want to point out is on the big play with Kareem, that inside kind of shuffle pass with his hurdle and all that.
Yep.
I know we got to take a break. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I just want to say that Pat Mahomes fakes and ball control sold that play and are selling a lot more than we're giving him credit for. He's doing just as much to divert the defense in the run game as he is in the pass game.
Yeah, it was a fantastic fake. And to call that play on, what was it? I can't remember if it was 4th and 1 or 4th and 2. Takes some guts and good on Reed for showing faith in his QB and showing faith on his team. I think the best part about that play for me is the fact that now other teams are going to have to defend against it. I mean, you've seen that type of play with Kelce, and now they're getting into the running back on that same type of pitch in the middle. So it's encouraging. It's a lot to defend against.
Folks, make sure you're checking out the rest of the Locked On Network, especially the college shows, and Matt Williamson on Locked On NFL. Go back and listen to Monday's show. I was with him on that about kind of round the league type episode. So make sure you're checking out Matt. We'll be right back. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com.
Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we go buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you could feel good about. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added on a daily basis. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. We have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. That's 35% off with promo code LOCKEDON, plus find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage.
Okay, so we got to talk about the defense and some encouraging things, some worrying things. Let's start at the front of the defense. I thought the D-line was fine. I thought Breeland Speak started to show up more, and combined with Dee Ford, I think they might have enough to get by until Justin Houston returns. What do you guys think?
I definitely think that they have a lot more than I expected them to have with Justin Houston out. I was surprised Tana Passanio didn't get many more snaps than he did, but even on the specific one that I'm thinking of, he had a huge play and got a big run stop. So that's impressive. And, looking at their four-man rotation once Houston comes back, I think you have a lot of pass rush ability there. And Speaks, while not very quick, and maybe that's something that he can improve on in the offseason, seems to really have a knack for at least getting close to the QB and starting to hurry throws.
I've been impressed with what they've done. Sutton's done a pretty good job dialing up pressure. I don't think they're as good at getting to quarterbacks as they were with Houston in, but they're not too far off, which is a testament to what Ford's doing, what Chris Jones is doing, and what Breeland Speaks has done, as well as some of the dial-ups that that Bob Sutton has used. He finally blitzed Ragland, which is something I've wanted to see more of.
Yeah,
because Ragland's a good blitzer.
He should have gotten half that sack, I think.
I agree. He comes downhill fast. Dee Ford is obviously having a career year. He looks better than he's ever looked. And so, I mean, that's good for him. Contract year's undefeated. They looked good enough as a pass rush before Houston got hurt that I was real encouraged by that. And with the type of team that they have in terms of offense, you know, for years the Colts didn't have a super strong defense, but they had, you know, Mathis and Freeney, you know, and so they were able to get after you because you had to pass the ball because, you know, they were scoring so much. And so I would love to see the Chiefs do something similar to that. Okay, you know, fine. We're going to have a bad run defense again somehow. Don't know how that happened, but whatever. So what we're going to do, though, we're going to put up points. And if you want to try, when we just watched with the Broncos ran the ball all over the field. And what did it do for them? And that's the reality of the situation is that the more people are looking at analytics, the run game cannot compete with the pass game. A good pass game will beat a good run game all day because it's so much more efficient in moving the ball. And that's just reality of the situation. And so I think you might see more of that. Now, obviously, the run game will be helped by Houston returning too, because that's one thing with Speaks. He's not nearly as good against the run as a guy his size should be.
Well, okay. And that's all fair. So
the stuff that he can improve on, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you've seen – let me ask you this question, and I'll ask it to both of you. Have you seen improvement over what we saw in the preseason? And how much improvement, in your opinion?
Oh, a ton of improvement.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, what stood out the last 2 weeks is hand fighting, the ability to get his rip arm through underneath, dropping his level of his pads. And he looked – even last week, he had a couple of rushes where he actually had some bend to him.
Well, and the one thing that I will say, and this is going to sound a little crazy because I think if Houston is playing against New England, they probably win. But what I will say is that we may look back at the Houston injuries being a little bit of a blessing and a blessing in disguise, because Speaks wouldn't have got the playing time he's been getting. And I think it's really helped him improve. Yeah. And that really gives them a third rusher that can get after the quarterback and can be effective.
Now, another guy that's really improved, and I think what we need to talk about is what he's going to do now. Seth, what did you see from Dorian O'Daniel?
I like what I'm seeing from Dorian O'Daniel. He did have a couple plays where a lineman was able to get to the second level and really move him. But the reality is that happens with a ton of inside linebackers. Most inside linebackers are not very good at shedding tacklers at this point. Or not tacklers, but shedding blockers. Kind of the opposite there. So there were a couple of those plays, but I saw the same stuff that I've seen. He is significantly faster than Hitchens and Ragland. I mean, it's not even close. He flies to the ball. He's great at pursuing sideline to sideline. I've given this a ton of thought. With Hitchens hurt, maybe for just a couple weeks. I don't know. It says severely bruised ribs. I don't know if you've ever bruised your ribs. That is brutal. It hurts.
It's impossible to move.
It hurts so bad. And severely, Hitchens is known for being a tough dude. And he was wrecked. I mean, he wasn't even standing up straight. So he might be out for a few weeks. We'll probably see more Neiman, which I'm kind of excited for, honestly, as much as I want to see Hitchens continue to come around, because I think he was. I'm excited to see what Neiman can do. He did well in coverage, and so I think he can help with some of the problems they had there. But I would like to see O'Daniel get ever-increasing amount of playing time, because even though I do think that will expose the defense a little bit with runs up the middle, the reality is the more he plays, the more he will adjust to getting out of the way of blockers, going around them, basically the DJ route, right? You don't need to be a block shedder to be a good inside linebacker. Derek Johnson proved that. That man was never any good at shedding blockers. Yeah. I keep saying tackles. So I would like to see more Dorian O'Daniel, because he eliminates running backs as receiving threats. At least he has so far. We'll see what he does against, you know, a great one when we get there. But he seems to eliminate them and eliminate those horizontal throws.
I still think I'd like to see Neiman on first down, or I'd like to see O'Daniel until somebody starts running repeatedly and understanding that they can probably get a guard on him and then bring Neiman in. But I agree with you. O'Daniel needs more playing time.
Well, and you look at that, and that would mean that you're getting a large part of your production on defense from most of the rookie class at that point. The only one that's really not playing is going to be Tre'Mont Smith. So I think the defense has looked better. The question is Daniel Sorensen going to play this week? Are they going to be able to activate him? Possibly. If they are, that adds depth at safety that is going to be very helpful, in my opinion. And that's what I would like to ask you, Seth. You kind of looked at Ron Parker a little bit from your Twitter account. Can you tell us a little bit about what you found?
He had some really tough blown coverages. Parker is just not he's tough to figure out, because I mean, he made that great play against Cincinnati last week. I just can't quite figure him out. He's not consistent, though, and With him, it seems like it's either feast or famine. And the reality is, when you're supposed to be the steady, dependable veteran, that's not a good thing. And so I'm frustrated right now with what they've done with the safety situation, because while Parker does do some good things, and he absolutely does, anyone that tells you that Ron Parker is just completely awful and never does anything well, they either have no idea what they're talking about, or they kind of have a bit of, how do I say this? They already had a conclusion and they're walking backward from it. Okay. And I'm not saying Parker's good, because he hasn't been. He has been below average this year. He's made some great plays. And I'm curious if the Chiefs win the Chargers game without him.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the Bengals game, that they probably do win without him. But he's made some really good plays, but he's just having these blown coverages that are just completely inexcusable. And that's where it gets frustrating, when you see a guy like Jordan Lucas, who I'm not, you know, I think Lucas has done well. I don't think he's looked like an all pro or anything like that. Because I've had people, oh, is he a future star? I'm like, I don't think he's a star, but I think he looks like a competent safety with more speed, more range, and honestly, seemingly better instincts at times. Mm-hmm. And if the problem that you have is, well, we can't put the new guy in because he might blow coverages, well, Parker's already blowing coverages. So that's been really frustrating, watching Eric Murray eat some of Lucas's snaps rather than having it be Murray and Lucas, with Parker being the third safety, because I, in my opinion, both Murray and Lucas have played better than Parker.
Well, I'll tell you what I've noticed, in that Parker, I think, can play single high just fine, because he can concentrate on reading the quarterback. Both times when he got beat this last week, he was staring at the quarterback, trying to play a cover two where he has to move both laterally and get depth, and that's the problem. Both times, he didn't get enough depth. I think it's an issue specifically with some of the coverages he's being asked to play, and he's just not good at it. But I agree with you. I want to see Lucas play more. I think his instincts are better. I think Ron can go up and play in the nickel. He can play inside and do – he's got the body type, and now that he's slowed down, he doesn't have that advantage in the back, that I think he can do the Hussein Abdullah thing.
I can see that
a little bit better.
Well, to me, I have to wonder if it's a matter of them not wanting to play two young guys back there as their last line of defense. As much as I don't necessarily agree with that, I just have to wonder if that's what they're doing.
And that could well be. I think Sorensen, from everything I've ever heard, they like Sorensen the best out of the safeties not named Eric Berry. My assumption is, when Sorensen comes back, he'll take on one of the full-time safety roles. My concern is that they're going to put Parker in the other full-time safety role, where I think at this point, Murray or Lucas is the better option. And that's frustrating for me, because, again, Lucas isn't perfect, but he does have a certain bit of playmaking spark, and the defense needs that. So I'm curious. I do hope Sorensen comes back. And Ryan, I know he's not your favorite guy in the world. I mean, not as a person, but as a player.
Right.
But I do think if you ask him to just play some cover two, I think you can count on Sorensen to not blow as many coverages as what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he's better in cover two than he is in cover one. I don't like him there as a single high, but if he's got a partner next to him, I'm okay with that. But
right. And that's going to be the key for the defense moving forward. I think you're going to see quite a bit of cover two, try to prevent big plays, try to rush the passer, and just wear teams down that way, with the knowledge that they carry that they need to score a ton of points. There's a reason the Patriots of all teams were looking to trade for another receiver. Because Bill Belichick's a smart guy, and you can tell a lot about what other NFL teams should be doing based on what Bill Belichick does, right? And what he's saying is, we saw what happened. We got out of there with a win against the Chiefs because we played essentially a perfect game, but we need more weapons to keep up with that offense. And so all the Chiefs need to do is be opportunistic on defense and not allow too many big plays, and I think the offense does the rest, provided the pass rush continues to show up.
Good points. All right, folks, we're going to take our second break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what we think is going to happen here. All right, buddy. This is Thursday. We haven't talked much about Cleveland. They're in total meltdown mode. The only thing that I want to ask you guys, I'm not a huge Greg Williams fan. I'm pretty sure I don't think he should be coaching in this league at all. But do you all have any concerns about how he approaches Pat Mahomes in terms of targeting or their attitude? They've got a decent defense in that town.
They do, and they've got some good pass rushers, a couple of very good pass rushers. But they're not any scarier personnel-wise than the defenses the Chiefs have already faced. The Broncos play the Chiefs very well. Their coverage is really good on the Chiefs overall, and they've got better pass rushers than what Cleveland has. It's a good defense, but I just don't worry that much about Mahomes. While he does occasionally expose himself to hits, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I sure have. It's not as often as we thought it would be. I know the first few times I watched him play, I was like, man, he got lit up like six times that game. But that has lowered. And I just think Mahomes is too hard to bring down.
And I think the line has looked a lot better as well.
Yeah.
What I will say is I do think that it is a little concerning, and I get where you're coming from, Ryan, but I also will say that if you look at Greg Williams and what he's done in the past, if he takes this opportunity and does anything trying to go after Patrick Mahomes, he'll be out of the league forever. So I don't think he's willing to do that. I don't think he's willing to risk it. I could be completely wrong, but John Dorsey is going to know more than anybody, in my opinion, about that guy in particular. So I think that in that regard, I think Pat Mahomes will be okay. I don't think that they're going to try to do any kind of targeting or any of that. I just don't think that that's something that he would risk a second time.
And you may be right. We're going to do our previews and our predictions tomorrow, folks. But Seth, do you have a feeling how you think this is going to go for Cleveland?
I was a little concerned because you have the whole, interim coach teams. I think the team, from everything I've heard, they hated Hugh. And we've seen this, right? We've seen this play.
Well, Kansas City.
We watch it happen. Exactly. We watch it happen with Romeo Crennel's team beating the Packers, who were previously undefeated and were a great team that year. And this might even be more so because, it's the defensive coordinator taking over. It really fires up the defense. And Baker Mayfield's a playmaker. He's not nearly the quarterback Mahomes is yet. And I think the last few weeks, that's settled down a little bit.
Well, he doesn't have the weapons either.
Nah, he's just not as good. I mean, that's just watch the two. Mayfield is what I think people thought Patrick Mahomes would be. That's my opinion. He's a little more wild, a little less accurate, but he makes fantastic plays. So I'm worried about the game, to be perfectly honest, because you're catching them in that emotional, let's do this kind of thing. And you just never know. Football is such an emotional game. So I'm a little nervous about it, but overall the Chiefs are a significantly more talented team. Andy Reid's a much better coach than Mike McCarthy. And I think what happened to the Chiefs in the Packers that year, I don't think Reid is the type of coach that's going to get beaten by something like that, if that makes sense.
I'm with you. Well, that's a good place for today, folks. We'll be back with the preview and our predictions tomorrow. But Seth, thanks. And I hope you are in good spot to enjoy this game.
Oh, I think I will be. I don't think they'll surprise me with any more pastor appreciation lunches. So I'll be able to actually watch the game this time. All right. Always good chatting with you, fellas. We'll talk soon.
And folks, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.